Hare Krishna. So this is the evening. This particular time is meant for Srila Prabhupada Katha at this place. So I have been requested to speak on Srila Prabhupada. I had the good fortune of coming to Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. That's the first time I came to Vrindavan. Although I was born and brought up in India, I did not have the good fortune of coming to Vrindavan earlier. What to speak of coming to Vrindavan? I did not even know the glory of Vrindavan. That's the unfortunate situation of India today, or India at that time. Like, Indians are completely oblivious of their spiritual heritage, their good fortune. And anyway, I had the good fortune of recognizing the glory of Krishna consciousness, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the glory of the spiritual world, simply due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I think that's the case with most of us here, if not all of us. Srila Prabhupada created this good fortune for us. We all were literally in the world of darkness. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. That was our situation. Timirandhasya, in the deep darkness of ignorance, we were. And Srila Prabhupada came and he anointed our eyes with the spiritual knowledge. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chokshurun Militam. We were blind about our spiritual vision. And Srila Prabhupada opened our blinded eyes with the transcendental knowledge. I came to Krishna consciousness quite late. Srila Prabhupada left this planet in 1977, November. And I joined ISKCON in 1976. And I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada in Kumbh Mela, especially when Prabhupada was going back from Kumbh Mela to Calcutta, and I had the good fortune of traveling with Srila Prabhupada in the same train. First class carriage was hooked on to a Calcutta bound train, and Prabhupada was traveling with a handful of devotees in that train. And although I was a new devotee, new bhakta practically, I had the good fortune, I was included in that team. And thank you. And that's the first time actually I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada and speaking to Srila Prabhupada. And during our first meeting, Srila Prabhupada gave me the service to translate his books into Bengali. And that gave me the good fortune of being close to Srila Prabhupada. And then eventually Srila Prabhupada made me his Secretary for Indian Affairs. And I had to reply all the letters that Srila Prabhupada received in Bengali and Hindi. And that enabled me to be with Srila Prabhupada practically all the time, travel with him. From Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, after the Gaur Purnima festival, Srila Prabhupada went to Bombay. There was a big program arranged for Srila Prabhupada in Bombay in the Cross Maidan. And while Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, his health was not very good. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada came back from America, Srila Prabhupada's health condition became quite bad. And although Srila Prabhupada's condition was quite frail at that time, but still Srila Prabhupada was preaching. From Mayapur he came to Bombay just to preach. And a big program, it was a huge program. Thousands of people used to come every day. Thousands means about 10,000 people used to come every day to attend the program. And Srila Prabhupada used to give his brilliant lectures. And when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, two very important acquaintances of Srila Prabhupada, one of them was the ex-governor of Madras, Sriman Narayan, and his brother-in-law, the chairman of the Bajaj Industries, Ramkrishna Bajaj. They came to see Srila Prabhupada. And while they were talking to Srila Prabhupada, and they got to know that Srila Prabhupada's health condition was not so good, they suggested that Srila Prabhupada went to Rishikesh on the bank of the Ganges at the foothills of the Himalayas. It's a very beautiful place, very holy place also. And they requested Prabhupada to go there for a, they used the expression, for a change. For a change, they wanted Prabhupada to go there. And Prabhupada liked the idea. Prabhupada said that he never been to Rishikesh before. So he liked the idea. So Prabhupada, then a small team traveled with Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at the time, Upendra Prabhu and myself, three of us traveled from Bombay to Delhi, and from Delhi we went to Rishikesh. Prabhupada was happy to be there. Like, it was a beautiful house that they arranged. Those days that was the most beautiful house in Rishikesh, called Ganga Darshan, right on the bank of the Ganges. A beautiful two-story building. And and we were there with Srila Prabhupada. We were very happy to be in that kind of atmosphere where just few of us around Srila Prabhupada. And then one day there was a big storm in Rishikesh. And it was terrible, actually. The whole night the wind was blowing so strongly, and the wind was so blowing so strongly that some trees fell and the electric supply got disrupted, because I think the electric poles broke. So the whole place became very dark, and the next day also it was raining the whole day. And Prabhupada was not feeling very well. And one thing was that Prabhupada was not able to translate. So that's why he was feeling more discontent about that situation. And it was at that time, that night, when I was attending Srila Prabhupada. At night, everybody, one of us used to be with Srila Prabhupada. Like, there was one of our god brothers, Pramana Swami. He was from South America, Venezuela. He was there with another sannyasi, Viraha Prakash Swami. Trivikram Maharaj also was there. So Pramana Maharaj used to be there from 10 to 12. Then I used to be there from 12 to 2. Then Upendra Prabhu used to be with Prabhupada from 2 to 4. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to come at 4 o'clock. This way we used to, one of us always used to be with Srila Prabhupada. And my shift was from 12 to 2. So it was at that time Prabhupada called me, and Prabhupada told me that the time has come for him to leave the planet. And he wanted to leave his body in Vrindavan. So we should make arrangements to take him to Vrindavan immediately. This statement of Srila Prabhupada was literally a bolt from the blue. And I just practically trembling, I climbed down the stairs, ran down the stairs, woke up Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told him what Prabhupada told me. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also jumped out of his bed and ran to Srila Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada also told him the same thing. The time has come for me to leave the planet. Please take me to Vrindavan. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. So that night only we packed everything. And in the morning we left. And we arrived in Delhi. That night we stayed in Delhi. And the next morning we left for Vrindavan. The devotees of Vrindavan got to know that Srila Prabhupada was coming. Naturally they were in ecstasy. Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming. I remember when we came near Chatikara Road, where the Agra Road turns to Vrindavan, we just spotted two devotees in motorbikes. As soon as they saw a car, as soon as they saw Prabhupada's car, they jumped onto the motorbike and drove. And they actually, that was Gunarnava Prabhu, who was the vice president of Vrindavan Temple at that time. So he was there, and there was another devotee. So they just spotted Srila Prabhupada's car and they came in the motorbike, and they reported to the devotees that Prabhupada was coming. So Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan. There must have been about 250 devotees. They were so ecstatic. And so they greeted Srila Prabhupada at the gate. Those days the entrance was from the front, and the gate, front gate, Samadhi naturally was not there. When Prabhupada came to the temple and had the darshan of the deities, I can still visualize Srila Prabhupada standing in front of the deities with his hands folded, and one could see there's so much love with which Srila Prabhupada was looking at the deities. For a long time, Prabhupada stood in front of Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram, Radhishyam Sundar. Sorry. Then Prabhupada went into his quarters. All these devotees followed him. There are lots of children. The Gurukul school was here. There are many, many children who actually also followed Srila Prabhupada with the kirtan. Then Prabhupada sat there. Actually, this room where Prabhupada's bed is, that was not Prabhupada's bedroom. That was Prabhupada's darshan room. Prabhupada's bedroom was on the side. And Prabhupada sat there and he started to speak. And he actually announced why he came. And literally I could see that, how ecstasy turned into agony. The devotees were so blissful, they just started to cry. Tears were streaming down their eyes when they got to know why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada quoted the verse, Dehi Nushmin Jatha Dehi, and elaborated on that. Prabhupada explained that Tatha Dehantara Praptir. In this material nature, our body is constantly changing. And eventually, we give up the old body to take up a new body. Dehantara Praptir. And Prabhupada explained, Dhiras Tatra Namuihati. A person who is situated in spiritual knowledge, he doesn't lament over the changing of the bodies. Then after everyone left, Prabhupada called me. Those days I was cooking for Srila Prabhupada also. And Prabhupada called me and told me, from now on, don't cook for me anymore. He said, what's the use of eating when there is no appetite? It was like an ultimatum from Prabhupada. Don't cook for me. Don't force me to eat. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? So, I just went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I told him what Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also became very thoughtful for a while. And then he said, what can we do? When Prabhupada speaks like that, I feel so helpless. What can we do? And Prabhupada stopped eating. He was not even taking water. From time to time, I used to make some fruit juice with the hope that maybe someday, sometime, Prabhupada would like to have some juice. And every few hours, I used to change the glass of juice, bring fresh one, with the hope that Prabhupada would want to eat and drink something at some point. Then the devotees came from all over the world. Actually, when Prabhupada was in Delhi, Tamal Krishna Maharaj phoned Adikeshav Maharaj, who was the GBC of New York at that time, and he told him what Prabhupada said and why Prabhupada is going to Vrindavan. And he asked him to inform all the devotees, all the senior devotees around the world. And within a very short time, many, many devotees assembled. And they had a meeting and they decided that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And if Prabhupada desires something, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. And if Prabhupada wanted to stay, then Krishna will allow Prabhupada to stay. And they came to Srila Prabhupada's room and they requested Srila Prabhupada to stay. And Prabhupada agreed. And the devotees again became so happy, so ecstatic. And then Prabhupada allowed me to cook. I cooked for Srila Prabhupada and started to serve. And Prabhupada also, although he was not able to eat, but still he used to come. Prabhupada used to take his prasad next to his darshan room as you enter on the left hand side, there is a small room. And so Prabhupada used to sit there and honor prasad. So one day after he took prasad, Prabhupada asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazar was. So I told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this is my first visit to Vrindavan. I don't know anything. I didn't even step out of our boundaries. But I can find out." But Prabhupada said, "No, you get some local devotee who knows." I said, "Prabhupada, Vrindavan is a small place. I can find out where Gopinath Bazar is. It won't be difficult." So then Prabhupada said, "You go to Gopinath Bazar, and there is one Ayurvedic doctor called Banomali Kaviraj. So you tell him about me. He will recognize me." And actually, those days everybody knew Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So, but Prabhupada was so humble, he actually told me to tell him that he used to live in Radha Damodar temple and sometimes he used to treat him. So I went, I found Banomali Kaviraj. He was a very old man at that time. At that time Prabhupada was 82 years old, but Banomali Kaviraj was 92 years old. And so I told him that Prabhupada was quite unwell and he wanted him to treat him. So Banomali Kaviraj said that, "Well, I can't go anywhere. He'll have to come here." And I begged him and begged him and told him that I will take you in a rickshaw. So he said, "Rickshaw, with every bump my bones will crack." And but still finally, due to my request, he agreed and he came to see Srila Prabhupada. And after he checked Srila Prabhupada, he told me that the medicine that I would give, it has to be freshly made. And he was quite concerned, like, how can he make the medicine and give it to Srila Prabhupada? So I told him, "We'll make arrangements for you in our guest house." He said, "No, no, I have to go home." And then I told him, "You can show me, I can make the medicine." And he accepted that idea. Then he took me to the field. Those days, outside of our temple practically, especially at the back, it was all empty land. And so he took me to that field and he showed me two herbs. And one was called Pathar Kuchi and the other is called Punar Nava. He just showed me. And they grow wild actually. And he gave me some two different salts. One was pink and one was white. And he showed me how to make the medicine. Those leaves of those plants were crushed and juice was extracted and we mixed the salt in that, and I had to give it to Srila Prabhupada 3 times a day. So he started to treat Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's condition started to improve. Now when Prabhupada's condition improved, Prabhupada wanted to go out and preach. And so when I told Banomali Kaviraj that Prabhupada wanted to leave, he was very, very unhappy about it. He said, "No, don't let him go now." He said, "This medicine is working, and in winter I will give him Makaradhaj and that will build him up." And so I told Tomal Krishna Maharaj that. Tomal Krishna Maharaj told me that what to do, Prabhupada wants to go. And you know how Prabhupada is. When he wants, we want to do something, you know, no one can stop him. That's what he wanted. And also I could hear Prabhupada sometimes would say things like, a warrior doesn't die in bed. A warrior, it's a disgrace for a warrior to die in bed. A warrior, for a warrior it's honorable to die in the battlefield. And so Prabhupada decided to leave. Later on, often I used to lament, why didn't I insist a little more? There were so many senior devotees, and if they all appealed to Srila Prabhupada to stay on. But anyway, those days we simply depended upon Srila Prabhupada's will. We never wanted to assert our will on Srila Prabhupada. We simply, because we knew that Prabhupada is a pure devotee and whatever he wants, it's Krishna's plan. And then Prabhupada was prepared to leave. All the arrangement was made. Prabhupada was going to go to London. From London he was going to fly to New York. From New York he was going to go to Gitanagari. From Gitanagari he was going to go to Los Angeles. And from Los Angeles he was going to go to Hawaii. And Prabhupada wanted to stay in Hawaii and translate. So the night Prabhupada was ready to leave, the flight was early in the morning from Delhi. And Prabhupada was all dressed up, ready to leave, and I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I said, no Prabhupada, I didn't have my passport with me. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then you join me in Hawaii. And so Prabhupada left and he arrived in Delhi airport. Many devotees came. Many devotees came from Mayapur also to see Srila Prabhupada. And I remember we were sitting in the airport surrounding Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was, although his health was frail and he was still speaking, instructing how to sincerely practice and how to diligently try to move this movement forward. And then Prabhupada left. From Mayapur, Bhavananda Prabhu, those days he was a sannyasi, he was the co-director of Mayapur. So, and I actually joined in Mayapur, so he told me, so now you come to Mayapur, come back to Mayapur. And so then we stayed for, he stayed in Vrindavan for, we drove from Delhi to Vrindavan. He stayed for 2 days and then we went back to Mayapur. So I was back in Mayapur, and one afternoon I was giving a class to the new devotees, new bhaktas, on the nectar of devotion. And I got a telegram. The telegram came from Vrindavan. Prabhupada wants you to come back, come to Vrindavan immediately. Prabhupada went to London and his health condition deteriorated. And he also had a minor surgery And then he came back to India from London. He first came to Bombay, and then from Bombay he just came to Vrindavan. So I got this telegram from I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj sent the telegram. And I told Bhavananda Maharaj that Prabhupada is calling me. So the next morning I took a flight to Delhi. Giriraj Maharaj and Brahmananda Swami also were in Delhi at that time, so they were coming to Vrindavan. So we just traveled together from Delhi to Vrindavan. I came here, and it was in the evening. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very happy to see me. And he told me that Prabhupada caught some cough and cold, and he took some medicine, some expectorant, which causes you to sleep. So Prabhupada was resting. So when I heard that, I decided not to go to Prabhupada's room. So I was sitting there with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Then Upendra Prabhu came out and he saw me and he said, "Come to Prabhupada." I said, "Prabhupada is sleeping, no?" Then he said, "Still, you just come in." So I went to Prabhupada's room. Upendra Prabhu and I were sitting on the floor, and Prabhupada was lying on his bed. From there I could see that Prabhupada became so thin that his body was practically on the same level with the bed, and his head was just propping up. And so at one time Prabhupada started to cough and he woke up. So Upendra went to attend him, and then he told that I was there. And then Prabhupada said, "Okay, ask him to come." "Where is he? Ask him to come." So I went to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to sit up. So I helped Prabhupada to sit up, and with the pillows I propped him up so that he could lean onto the pillows. While I was doing that, I could see that Prabhupada became so thin. Already Prabhupada was very frail, very thin, and now he has become so thin. So I told him, "Prabhupada, you became so thin." And Prabhupada said, "Yes. Now this body is just a set of bones in a bag of skin." And Srila Prabhupada kept on asking about Mayapur, how everything was. Those days there was some problem in Mayapur. There was some conflict with the local Muslims. And local Gauriya Math also sided with the Muslim against ISKCON. And it was a lot of unpleasantness there. So Prabhupada was asking how everything was, and I started to relate to him in details what was happening. By that time the situation became quite controlled in Mayapur. Actually the situation was so bad, quite a few devotees were arrested, including Bhavananda Maharaj, and it was just some conspiracy of some local envious individuals. And we could see that although Prabhupada's health condition was so delicate, but still Prabhupada was so concerned about the happenings in our movement, the affairs of our movement. And then again I started to serve Srila Prabhupada. The next day I went to Banumallika. Prabhupada asked me to meet Banumallika Viraj. So Banumallika Viraj actually came and started to treat Srila Prabhupada. And so I went and met him. Banumallika Viraj kept on coming and gave the medicine. But finally he told me that, look, my medicine is not working. So what's the point in treating now? So Banumallika Viraj actually stopped his treatment and in this way Srila Prabhupada was just there. He practically stopped eating and yet Prabhupada was so concerned, like he would, like one day Srila Prabhupada asked me to see how the devotee's prasad was. Although Prabhupada himself did not eat for days together, but Prabhupada was concerned about how the devotees were eating. And so I went to the devotee kitchen, took the prasad, and I came to Srila Prabhupada and I told him, Srila Prabhupada, the prasad was not so good. Later on I used to think maybe I shouldn't have said that. But then again, Prabhupada wanted me to find out, so I went and told Prabhupada that the prasad was not so good. And Prabhupada called the temple president and he kind of chastised him why the prasad is not good. And he insisted that the prasad for the devotee should be good. And then after the temple president left, Prabhupada told me, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And then he said, that is the only sense gratification they have. And so I could see how concerned Srila Prabhupada was about the devotees' well-being, he was so concerned about the devotees. Although he couldn't eat for days together, but he was so concerned about the devotees' prasad. Then one day Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, came. In Bengali, Pishima means aunt. The father's sister is called Pishima and mother's sister is called Mashima. So Prabhupada, we used to address Srila Prabhupada's sister as Pishima. She was a wonderful, wonderful devotee. Very, very caring. She also looked very much like Srila Prabhupada. Just the female replication of Srila Prabhupada. So Pishima came. So I was told that Pishima came. So I went and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Pishima came. And Prabhupada said, ask her to come. So Prabhupada was lying on his bed. And Pishima was just standing maybe 2 feet away and I was standing in the middle. Prabhupada wouldn't speak directly to her. Prabhupada was telling me, ask her what she would like to do. Then Pishima said, tell him that I would like to cook for him. So I the few sentences I relayed back and forth, and then they started to speak together directly. Then Prabhupada asked, cook whatever you want to cook. Then she said, what do you want to eat? Prabhupada said, cook whatever you want to cook. And then finally Prabhupada said, you can cook some khichdi. So just as she got the order to cook khichdi, she walked like a general onto Prabhupada's kitchen, and I followed her. So she was cooking, she was supposed to cook khichdi, but she cooked a huge feast. And she, at that time, Kirtananda Swami was attending Srila Prabhupada also. So he didn't want Prabhupada to eat Pishima's cooking, because he felt that this cooking will be so rich. So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you shouldn't eat. He said, look, she wants to cook for me, so let her. But after some time, Kirtananda Swami again came and told Prabhupada not to eat that cooking. And Prabhupada said, look, I'm already a dead man. So whether I die eating or fasting, what difference does it make? So it was going on between Kirtananda Swami and Prabhupada. Like Prabhupada was, Kirtananda Swami was telling Prabhupada not to eat. And Prabhupada was insisting that, no, I would. At least in order to make her happy. Then finally prasadam was ready. I came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the prasad is ready. So Prabhupada said, bring it. So Kirtananda Swami was there, and he told, kind of in a cajoling way, coaxing Srila Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, you are not going to eat that. This time Prabhupada became very annoyed. Prabhupada said, don't you ever think that you know better than your spiritual master. So I got the message, I went, brought the plate, and Prabhupada ate, not a huge amount, but Prabhupada took something, although he didn't eat for a long, long time. Only he used to take some fruit juice, nothing solid he took for days, and sometimes he would take some milk, that also diluted with water. But Prabhupada ate. And there was some anxiety, some concern. Maybe Prabhupada will not be able to digest, Prabhupada will become sick. But nothing happened. So with a great relief, I told Pishima that there was a big concern that Prabhupada may not be able to digest. And then Pishima said, if Prabhupada wants, he can even digest rocks. And that was the case actually. Like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada wanted to eat something, he ate and nothing happened. Should I stop now? Is Maharaj here? Is Govinda Maharaj around? Because he is supposed to speak now.
Govinda Maharaj, where are you? Does anybody see him out there?
No, he's not there. Okay. Okay, so I'll just take a few more minutes and one or two episodes I'll speak. So, speaking about Srila Prabhupada's digesting ability, like one day Prabhupada was sitting at the back of his roof. How many of you have seen Prabhupada's room, Prabhupada's quarters, upstairs of Prabhupada's quarters? Okay. Upstairs there's a room and there is kind of a small area, covered area in the front, and at the back there's an open roof. So Prabhupada was sitting there on a dari. It's a kind of bed made of coir ropes. And Prabhupada was sitting there. I was sitting at the feet of Srila Prabhupada one afternoon. So Prabhupada told me, find out. You see, the deity kitchen was just next to Prabhupada's roof. And so Prabhupada just told me, find out what they're cooking there. So I ran into, and you know, like when Prabhupada wanted to find out, like that gave us so much hope. Like I just ran to the deity kitchen. And we had a wonderful godbrother of ours who used to cook for Shishri, Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nithai those days. For years together he used to cook for the deities. His name was Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, the elderly Bengali devotee. So I went and I found that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was cooking kachuri and samosa. So I ran back to Srila Prabhupada and I told that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu is cooking kachuris and samosas. Prabhupada said, get some for me. And it was, I mean, Prabhupada wanted something when he was barely eating anything. I was running. And at that time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were just coming. They just met me right there. And he said, what happened? And I said, Prabhupada wanted some kachuri and samosa. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you can't give kachuri and samosa to Prabhupada. And I just screamed that Prabhupada wanted. So saying that, I just ran down and went to Prabhupada's kitchen, got Prabhupada's silver thali, went to the deity kitchen, and I told Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, and I got two kachuris and two samosas straight from the frying pan and piping hot. And I took them and I ran back to Srila Prabhupada. So since it was very hot, Prabhupada just smashed them, the samosas and kachuris. And then he took a small piece and he started to eat. Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were looking at Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, don't see. And their heads dropped. And Prabhupada took the kachuri and samosa. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very worried. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so concerned about Srila Prabhupada's health, Prabhupada's health condition, Prabhupada's welfare. And he was so concerned, he was telling me that maybe Prabhupada won't be able to sleep tonight and Prabhupada will feel uneasy. And he was very concerned. But that night I could see that Prabhupada slept so well. And then the next morning, Prabhupada was just normal, nothing happened. Like he digested this kachuri and samosa fried in ghee. And so that's how Prabhupada was spending his time in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was translating practically every night. although his health condition was so frail, but often he would stay at the back of his room in the upstairs. And because in summertime it gets very, Prabhupada used to prefer to sleep on the roof out in the open, and there were lots of mosquitoes, and so Prabhupada used to sit inside the mosquito net on his bed and he used to translate. And like, and later on when Prabhupada became so weak that he couldn't even turn to his side, we had to very carefully help him to turn to his side. But still, Prabhupada was using his last drop of his energy to translate. He used to... Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's secretary, used to read the Sanskrit verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the 10th canto, 13th and 14th chapter, Brahma Mohan Leela. And Prabhupada, and one of us used to hold the microphone in front of Prabhupada's mouth. You must have seen the DVD. Jayadita Maharaj is holding the microphone. Prabhupada couldn't even hold the microphone. What to speak of holding the microphone? Prabhupada couldn't even lift his hand. Prabhupada couldn't even turn to his side. But still Prabhupada was translating. Pradyumna Prabhu would recite the verse and Prabhupada would give the translation and Prabhupada would give his Bhaktivedanta purport. This is a pure devotee. His entire life is completely dedicated in serving Krishna and spreading his glory. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.